I want to share with you a tool that, if you ask me, other than my sense of love and caring and passion, my intensity, my emotion, what has been the single most important tool in my life to create what I have in my life that I value? Whether it be the impact I've been able to have in raising my children, whether it be the companies that I've created, whether it be the opportunity to be with you up here now, there is one tool above all others that has made that possible for me. And that is the capacity to take my visions and turn them into reality. And I've done it with a system of thinking, not a time management system. I'm not a believer in time management because I know you can do everything in terms of managing your time, manage it perfectly, arrive everywhere at the right moment, do it at the exact time you said you're going to do it, and not accomplish anything that is meaningful. My goal in life is not to manage time. My goal in life is to have a life that is absolutely fulfilling, which means a life that is always growing and contributing, not only to myself, but to my community. And my community, for me, is ever expanding. It's the world. So in order to do that, I have developed a system. And over the years, I didn't share it with anybody. I developed it out of necessity. I developed it because my vision was so large that every time I started to go to try and make that vision a reality, I would develop the tools, the abilities to make it happen. And as soon as I hit that, my vision got bigger. So, you know, when I first started out, my vision was, how do I make myself actually happy? How do I get myself so that I feel energetic? How do I get myself fit? And so I'd focus on that and I'd develop it. But every time you achieve a vision, it expands your vision for what else you can accomplish, what else you can give, whatever else you can create. So now my body was fit, so now I wanted to really have a greater relationship. I want a greater emotional well-being. And then that expanded. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I want to economically, I want to do well. I don't want to suffer. And then it was not, I don't want to suffer, it's I want to do well. Then it was, I want to be successful. Then it was, my gosh, you know, what do I do with all this? How do I make this happen? What can I do that contributes on a larger scale? Because I have so many of those choices. So your vision's always expanding. Oh, I created this company, it's doing it. What else can I create? And so what I want to talk to you about is not what most people call it planning. I call it the process of creation. Because if you can understand how to create what's inside of you into reality, you have a skill set that makes you a leader. But that requires a system of thinking that allows you to maximize your ability. My whole life is dedicated to being a strategist. I live for that process of understanding what I call profound knowledge. Any distinction, any idea, any understanding, any insight that the minute you have it, you can immediately change the quality of your life or anybody else's. I live for that. I'm looking for it every moment. I take notes like a banshee. I'm constantly obsessed by finding that because I know those are the gifts that change people's lives. But I try to find a way to use it systematically, strategically, and consistently. Many people know what to do, but they don't have a system that gets them to do it on a regular basis, and therefore they don't actually experience the value of what's available within themselves. So the other day, for example, by just showing you these four parts of yourself, archetypes, and saying, here's a systematic way, just change and ask the same question of a different part of you. Change the system of what you're accessing, and all of you in this room who've done it know you get a radical change. Or the system I've taught you in the triad, that is, changing the systematic way you use your physiology, changing the systematic way you focus on things by changing the questions you ask yourself, changing the language you use. These are systematic ways, and when you have a system, it allows you to, how often can you produce a result once you figure out the system? How often can you do it? Every time. I'd like to show you a vision, or a system, I should say, that can take any vision and turn it into reality by getting you to use the resources inside of you. If you think of this as merely a little time management tool, then you'll stick with your little Palm Pilot or whatever it is you've been trained to use forever, and you'll do what people have been doing for 150 years. You'll ask the same questions, you'll think the same way, and you'll maximize whatever that system will give you, which is a very limited return. Because the world's changed radically from the times in which we did that. How many of you have some kind of planner that you use, either electronic or something physical you carry with you on a regular basis? Let me see your hands. Look around the room. Virtually everybody. Now, that wasn't always true. Why is that true today? Because today, there are so many things you can focus on. There are so many demands for your attention today that if you don't decide in advance what you're going to focus on, you're going to definitely be controlled by everybody else's focus. The media every single day is trying to get your focus because the media lives not off information, but off advertising. And so they need your attention to survive, and they'll do anything. And we've seen over the last 10 or 15 years, the media has become much more intense in what it offers us, hasn't it? much more violent, much more sexual, much more anything, because it's hard to get our attention now because everything's trying to get our attention. So now they got to go to greater extremes to get our attention today. I'm talking about taking back that control of focus by learning to ask three questions in a specific sequence on a consistent basis in your life. And then if you want to make this system a part of your life, you don't just ask it, you get a way, a physical thing you do as a ritual, so these questions become embedded in you, and so you capture the answers not in your head. Because how many of you ask questions all the time in your head and you kind of loop, like you get the answer and then you ask another question, and then you ask another one, and pretty soon you don't go anywhere. How many have been there? Say I. So the value of either a computer device as a capturing device or paper as a capturing device is critical so that the system of thinking can be organized and structured, so you're not trying to manage it all in your head. I used to not teach any of this to anybody. I did it, I built my companies, because as I did it, I just thought, this is my way of thinking, and I hadn't figured out how I was doing it 100%. Then maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was doing a life mastery like this, and it was the same night, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and somebody asked me a question, and they were suffering so much, and I thought, you know what, they got all this great emotional stuff, they got all this great physical stuff. They got better things for their relationship. They have all these tools, but they're going to go home and get overwhelmed because they're not going to know where to start. You know, I can already see they're overwhelmed. Or they're going to have an idea where to start, but they're not going to maximize their ability. And this guy asked me this question. I knew the answer, so I said, well, let me tell you what I do. And that launched into a 7-hour conversation that lasted about 4:30 in the morning. People are hanging in there, you know. I was like, look! And I was so passionate about it that I kept people in the room. But basically, you know, the next morning, I'm sure they crawled out of the room thinking, yeah, I should figure that out someday. And so then through the years, I would, for the first couple of years, I would start to teach it here, and I give it like a few hours here and a few hours there. And gradually, I decided, you know what, I'm going to implement it at my company. And when I did, at the main company, Robbins Research, we doubled our profitability in less than 12 months. And within 2 years, we doubled again. But more importantly, I wasn't driving the company anymore. It was like I didn't have to be there when making all the decisions. How many of you have a company right now where you're not being there troubles you because you know that when you're gone for a week like this, that things definitely need your attention when you get home? How many got that experience? Let me see your hands. Then what happens is you have a highly paid job. Now, I'm not being disrespectful anyway because that's what I had too. If you're being away for a week actually affects that business that much, then you really are still employed. It's just you're employed to the people that you're now employing. And so the way out of that trap is to be able to take a vision, which I would call a specific measurable result, in a term we're going to teach you, which is called RPM, the RPM planning system, which stands for rapid planning method. In the beginning, it's much slower to do what we're going to teach you. The reason it's slower is if I do a little exercise and have you write your name out, sign it 10 times, and we time each time how many seconds it takes, then I have you write your name but skip every other letter, write half as much, and we time you. You'll take an average of 50% longer to write half as many letters the first 6 or 7 times you do it. Then by the time you get to the 10th time you do it, you usually do it in a third the time, even though we only cut out half the letters. So that doesn't make any sense mathematically. I can demonstrate it for you again and again. The brain learns certain things, and then it makes intuitive leaps. But in the beginning, this will be slower, which is why most of you probably won't do this unless you really tonight get a vision for what this can mean for you. The process I'm going to teach you is the ability to answer three questions systematically that every leader has the answer to. And that is this. Every leader has the ability to answer the first question, which is, what is it we really want here? What do you want? What is the outcome we're after? What is your vision? What is the specific result that you're committed to achieving? Human beings have the capacity to achieve anything they can envision. Anything. If you can conceive it, and if you can believe it, as I've always heard in those books from way back in the past, you can what? Achieve it. How many believe that anything human beings can envision and focus on, they can turn into reality? I'm curious. And if you don't believe it, don't say so. But if you really believe it, say I. Then the secret is to get that vision to be specific enough that your brain has the capacity to make it real. It's very difficult to achieve something general. When you ask people, what do they want? What do most people answer? The general population, what do they say? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, your chances of achieving it are slim and none, probably none, unless you're lucky and you bump into something. But most people don't ask in life, what do I want? The question people ask when they're planning is, what do I need to, what's that? Do. Now, if you ask the question, what do I need to do, you are now a follower and not a leader. Because what's going to happen is what you need to do is going to be based on the stimulus of the environment you're in. If somebody's in front of you, they're going to tell you what they need you to do. And then what you become is an automaton who follows. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean you can't take feedback or be coached by people. But in every organization, people have the ability now to think for themselves, to see what things mean, to adjust to it. But they also have an emotional quality and a spiritual quality. Well, RPM, the Rapid Planning Method, is really a results-focused, purpose-driven, massive action plan. We call it the Rapid Planning Method, but those RPMs stand for the three questions. Having a result you're totally focused on, because whatever you focus on continuously, you will get to, if you do not let go of your focus. You gotta have a purpose that will move you emotionally, because without enough emotion, you can have this great goal, this target, you can be thinking about it, but it's the emotion that moves you to take action. We are emotional creatures. We want just enough information so that we can now take our emotion and do something with it. And we've all witnessed this week. We've seen people take events and convert them into emotion. That's what we do as human beings. And those emotions, whichever ones we pick, are going to determine what we do. If you're apathetic as your emotion, then you're going to ignore things. If you're enraged, you're going to do another thing. If you're hurt, if you feel sad, if you feel excited, if you have a sense of inspiration, if you have a hunger to contribute, whatever the emotion is, excitement, hurt, passion, love, anger, frustration, joy, depression, whatever emotions inside you is what's going to determine where you go. So if you're going to try and plan your life and a planner of any sort, and the planning you're doing is starting out by asking the question, what do I need to do? You have no life. You have an activity list that you're always pursuing. And even if you achieve them all, you're going to mistake movement for achievement, and you'll know it's not achievement because at the end of the day, you're going to know, how come I still don't feel so fulfilled? You can't have a plan for your day until you have a plan for your life. And what RPM planning is creating a life plan, a company plan, a division plan, a department plan, a family plan, a plan that is larger, because I don't know what I want to do until I first figure out what it is I want. If you want to be president of the United States, then you plan on doing something very different than if you want to manage the local business. If you want to just kick back and relax and be able to do the least possible, what you're going to do is very different than if you're trying to maximize your contribution in this life. There's no right or wrong. Only you can decide what you want. But if you try to ask, what should I do, before you first ask, what do I want, you'll always be frustrated and you'll always be unfulfilled. So RPM planning is really a system of thinking that allows you to maximize your results, because it gets you so focused on what you want, not focused on what to do. If you focus on what to do, there's a lot of stuff you'll never even begin if you realize how much you got to do. How many have thought of things at times you thought, yeah, well, I kind of like to do that, but God, look at all I got to do. The more you focus on what you got to do, the less likely you're going to follow through. That's why if I had you here in this room, and I do this all the time, does anybody have their planner with them that they use every day? Anybody got a planner with them? Great. So here's a planner. Now, if I turn to this man's planner and I open it up, and in it he has a calendar, which is very useful. And if I turn to a day, any day he's got, I can see any days that have passed here, because he's got past months in here. And in most days you'll see there's a great deal of planning going on. Okay, here's one. Here's one day with some planning. I found one. So I go through these days, and most days there's nothing here. And yet he's carrying it with him, even here in class. Okay? Now I find one here. Here's one, and it's got some phone calls on it. 1, 2, 3, about 10 items. And most of them are checked off on this day. It's a very good day. Here's another day, nothing checked off. Here's another day. This one's got a lot of checks in it, and some points and some elements. And it's got things like ring Phil Jones, check for trust appointment, do something for the Sprockets, something for photos, jab compliance post, compare this, bid amendment, tire puncture, handbrake. It goes through all these different elements. All these things you see here are activities. Now, these activities are not related to any specific outcome. How many follow this? Now, these activities probably need to get done, probably, until you decide what you want to do. See, most of what I do today, I do so little of what I used to do. Because what I start asking myself is not what I want to do, what do I want? What specifically do I want to achieve, to create, to produce? And I didn't just ask it in a general question, I asked it in areas of my life that mattered the most. What is it I really want to produce? What's my vision for this business? What's my vision for my children? What's my vision for my body? What's my vision for my family? What's the vision for my emotions? What's my vision for my financial life? What is it I want? What specific measurable result do I want? This book may have a page like there somewhere in it, but this book is an activity manager. If you're an activity manager, you're going to be unfulfilled. And you will not maximize results either. You must become a results leader. A results manager is a minimum. But a leader is someone who can always answer the question, what is it you really want from this situation, from this day, from this week, from this month? What do you want? Now, you can get more than that, but if you don't start with what you want, your chance of getting it is slim and none. That's the R in RPM. It's a results focus. It's not an activity focus. And just by changing that focus alone, you will shift the ability to achieve. I'll give you an example. Have you ever been caught up in an argument and you forget what you're arguing for, but you know you have to win? How many have been there? Say I. If in the middle of that argument, all you did was ask this question, in the middle of the argument, because the argument is all about activity, isn't it? Back and forth, reaction. That's what activity is, reaction. If you would ask yourself in the middle of the argument, what's my outcome? What result do I want to come out of this conversation? Your brain will probably say, well, my outcome isn't to fight. My outcome, the result I want, is I want us to align and move together in something we both feel good about. The minute you determine that's the result you want and you can make it that specific, I guarantee you your brain will come up with a new action list, a new to-do list about what to say next, about how to interact, about how to even move with this person. So if I had one goal on earth, it would be to burn every to-do planner that exists on earth, because these are systematically getting you to think in a way that will make you not only not productive, activity-driven, but worse, unfulfilled. RPM is simply a system of thinking that will cause you to consistently produce the maximum result with a maximum amount of fulfillment, because it's going to be about what you want, that you have self-determined your vision, and you're going to do that on a regular basis. If you keep asking all the time what you want, what you want, what you want, you're going to get better and better and better answers. And by the way, what you focus on, you move towards. I give you a metaphor that I use often is when I went to racing school for the very first time years ago. I went to this racing school, and the owner of the school is a great guy. His name is Bob Bondurant. That's the first school I went to. I've been to many since then. But he's a great guy. And Bob and I are both helicopter pilots. So he lets me fly my helicopter to the place I land, and I think I can do some really cool things in a helicopter. I said, I don't know if racing, you know, in a car is going to be that cool, because, you know, I could take my helicopter and take it right down, right along the edge of the waves as it's crashing, and I lift it up just as it's going under it. I flip it upside down. It's like having your own roller coaster. Take people and fly them upside down, move them around. I mean, people freak out. It's a lot of fun. It really juices you. So I'm thinking, and I love helicopter surfing. You go right down there and surf. The other surfers don't like it, but I like it a lot. But what happens is, he gets me, he says, well, I think you're going to kind of like a car. How about I give you a little ride first, and we'll see if you think it's worth your time. So he takes me in this car on a ride that I will never forget. I mean, I didn't know a car could stay up at that kind of snapping and speed. And at the end, my heart's pounding me, and I'm sold. I want to do this. And at the same time, he says, by the end of 4 days, you will be doing this. And I'm thinking, I'm a positive guy, and you're full of crap. I mean, 4 days to do this? What he did with the car was unbelievable. He said, you'll do it in 4 days. I said, all right. He said, but here's why you'll be able to do it. Right now, you don't believe you can do it because there's some part of you that knows that you could get out of control, and your mind is going there already, even now. When you were in the car with me, you were thinking about what could happen to us. And he said, Tony, as long as you're thinking about what could happen to us, you'll make that happen. He said, I'm going to put you in a spin car. That's what we do with everybody. Here's the secret to becoming a great driver. You must already anticipate what the problems were and be able to handle them in advance so that when you're driving, you can forget about them. And if it happens, you deal with it in that moment. And he said, here's the secret. The secret is when you go into a spin, and you're going to go into spin, if you're the best driver on earth, you're going to hit a spin, because it's not just you. There are other drivers around you. Somebody's going to spill some oil on the track. The car's going to crash in front of you. Something's going to happen beyond your control. Does that sound a little bit like life? And he said, when that happens, you're going to go into a spin. And when you go into a spin, the secret, there's one secret to making things work and surviving, and more importantly, succeeding. He says, one thing and one thing only. Focus on where you want to go, not on what you fear. So, and this is, by the way, exactly what happens in life. We all go into a spin in life, right? You go into a spin because somebody you care about gets, you know, a life-threatening disease, and it puts a spin on your life. Everything now seems out of control. Or somebody comes to you and says, I think we should separate. You can get in a spin. or you think in your head you should separate or this is not right, and it throws you into spin, or the economy changes, or whatever. Got to focus on what you want. So I get in the car, and he said, here's how we're going to teach you this. We're going to put you in the spin car. There'll be a man sitting next to you. He is going to have a little box that you can't see, and on it there are four buttons. They approach to one of the four wheels. They relate to one of the four wheels. You're going to go around the track, and at some point, when you least suspect it, he's going to push one of those buttons. It'll lift up that wheel, and you will spin out of control in that direction. He said, the minute that happens, focus on where you want to go, because wherever you focus is where your eyes will go, is where your body will go. That's where you'll steer. It's kind of like if you've ever heard about a person who's in like in a Porsche and they're on a country road and they're going 100 miles an hour and there's one telephone pole every quarter of a mile and they lose control and they manage to hit the one telephone pole. How do they do that? Because they got the control and they go, oh, I don't want to hit that. And they literally focus and drive right into it. So you get in this car and he said, you prepared, remember what to do. So I get in the car, I'm driving around and I'm ready. I'm ready. Drive around, I'm ready. Drive around, I'm ready. I am absolutely ready for this. Well, of course, it never happens in life when you're ready. So sure enough, finally, when I just lose a little bit of concentration, he pushes the button, we start to spin out of control, and we're going right for the wall. Right for the wall. And of course, I'm staring at what's going to kill me. Fortunately, right, he knows what to do, so he grabs my head and shoves it to the left where we've got to turn. Now, I'm fighting him because I want to see the death happen. Right? But he keeps holding me. And by the way, as I look here, what do I do unconsciously? Steer where I'm looking. So I'm still fighting, I'm fighting, fighting. Now, what happens is I'm doing the right thing, but does that immediately make the car go in the right direction, yes or no? No, because you have a thing called momentum, right? So I'm doing the right thing, and people say to me, well, gosh, you know, I've been drinking green drink for 2 days now, and I haven't lost the 35 pounds. Well, how long have you been eating like a pig? 15 years? Maybe it'll take a week to get some momentum here for you, right? So the bottom line is, you're doing the right thing. That's how life is. You do the right thing. You don't immediately get rewarded because you've been doing the wrong thing for a while, right? So I'm hanging on, and I'm fighting, fighting, fighting. And sure enough, we're getting closer, closer, closer. And the last second, literally maybe 2 feet from the wall, and I don't think I'm exaggerating, the wheels catch, and we turn. And my heart is beating out of me. So the instructor has me stop. I'm shaking. I got adrenaline everywhere. He goes, did you learn? I said, I learned. Right, we get back out, we drive, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Minute I'm not ready, push the buttons. Sure enough, I look right at the wall again. Grabs my head, shoves it, right? Same thing, last few seconds, boom, we turn. And he doesn't even freak out even though about 2 feet from it because he knows by experience how much momentum there is and he doesn't get fearful. He just focuses with me where we need to go. He doesn't even look at the wall. Interesting. He has faith. He's taking action. He just doesn't have blind faith. He's taking action based on knowing. So the bottom line is, after third or fourth time, we start spinning. I just start looking, man. I just look. Now, here's the question. If you focus where you want to go, are you guaranteed not to hit the wall, yes or no? Yes or no? No. But if you focus on the wall, are you guaranteed to hit it? So you've got to focus on exactly what it is you want if you want to achieve it. If you're ever going to achieve it, that's got to be your focus. Now, you do need to know what the limitations are, what the concerns are, and be prepared for them. But once you're prepared, your whole focus has got to be on making it work. Because if there's any ounce that you pull back here, that ounce is going to pull you in the direction you don't want to go.